Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news this noon. Police are investigating a shooting at a high school in Iowa. Ken Smith is in the WRAL Live Center with new information from the sheriff's office.
Last night's rain is long gone, but this system is really starting to get cranked up. It arrives here Saturday. I'll show you what to expect in terms of rainfall and any wintry weather.
And making way for progress, demolition will soon begin in downtown Raleigh, where construction will begin on a new city hall.
At breaking news this noon, a heartbreaking trend carries over into the new year. Authorities are investigating a shooting at a high school in Iowa. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Nate Chu. Thanks for joining us. This all happened in the city of Perry, which is about 45 minutes northwest of Des Moines. NBC News is reporting several people were hurt, including two students and a school administrator. Also, the shooter is reportedly dead. Ken Smith has been monitoring developments and joins us now with new information from the WRAL Live Center. Ken.
Hey, Michelle and Jeff, we want to set the scene for our viewers this noon hour here. Right now behind me, there's a live picture outside Perry High School there in Iowa. You can see heavily armed law enforcement officers outside that school. I want to give you another live picture as well. This is the front of the school. That's the Perry Performing Arts Center right there. Again, just all surrounded by crime scene tape. The sheriff's office there in Dallas County held a news conference about 45 minutes ago. Sheriff Adam Infante said the information will be limited as authorities notify family members who were injured in the shooting. The sheriff did make it clear that there was no further danger or threat to the school or the public. Now, here's what else the sheriff was able to confirm. The call came in around 7:37 this morning, Iowa time. Iowa's an hour behind us, so it's about just after 11 o'clock there in Perry, Iowa. When officers arrived at Perry High School, they found multiple gunshot victims. Again, NBC News reporting the injured includes two students and a school administrator. The suspected shooter is down. The sheriff did make the point. The time of day this happened, early in the morning before school started, likely reduced the magnitude of this trauma.
This happened at approximately 7:37 this morning. School didn't start yet. Luckily, so there was very few students and faculty in the building, which I think contributed to a good outcome in that sense.
Again, you're looking live pictures now outside Perry High School. Another news conference is scheduled for later on today. By the way, this has happened the first day back to school since the students had been on winter break since December 22nd.
Just so terrible. Ken, thank you. Rocky Mount police are searching for the person who shot a 10-year-old boy. It happened shortly before midnight in the 600 block of Dexter Street. Police say the child was shot in the left thigh. He was taken to Nash UNC Hospital and is expected to recover. Anyone with information is asked to call Rocky Mount Police.
We have a cold rain in our forecast for Saturday, so it has been declared a WRAL weather alert day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Garner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at this timeline as it is quiet for us today, but that will all change come Saturday with the rain and how much we will see, Elizabeth.
Yeah, we're taking a look at this low pressure system that's sitting there out here in the great right there in the west right now. It will continue to move eastward. It's going to grab up some moisture from the Gulf of Mexico and pull that northward. And so we're going to see this system changing pretty dramatically over the next 24 hours. It already has some snow associated with it, but this system is going to move right through the middle of the country and arrive here early Saturday morning. With it, it brings a lot of snow. So if you're planning to travel tomorrow, Saturday or Sunday by plane, you definitely want to check your flight ahead of time because there may be some delays based on this system as it moves across the country, bringing some wintry conditions. Once it moves through here, it's likely to move up to the northeast and create wintry conditions there. We, of course, have talked about the potential for a little bit of light freezing rain with this system. We were looking at a chance of that north of I-85 as we were looking at the models yesterday. The models today have come in with a much lesser chance of that. You can see just back to our west, some of the pink areas. This is going to be Saturday at 8 a.m. We'll see maybe a very small chance of some brief freezing rain, very little accumulation, no issues with it at all. But we will see an all-day rain on Saturday. It's going to be an uncomfortable kind of day. The rain starts very early in the morning and continues into the evening. Temperatures will be pretty chilly for most of the day, but we won't be down close enough to freezing for it to cause problems here. However, once you head to Greensboro, Winston-Salem, and back toward the mountains, there'll be more freezing rain and some more wintry conditions. But for our viewing area, we're not looking at much of a threat for that. So here's what we're looking at. It is a WRL weather alert day for Saturday. It is going to be an all-day uncomfortable kind of rain. There's a very small chance of some light freezing rain up around Person County, but it's definitely looking less likely today. We won't have any travel issues here, but we're also looking at another system that arrives on Tuesday that could cause some flooding when you add Saturday's rain to what we could see Tuesday. I'll tell you more about that coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Meantime, Raleigh City officials started lowering Lake Johnson around 1 o'clock yesterday, and they plan to continue that through tomorrow at noon. WRL's Chelsea Donovan is there live with the reason they're lowering the lake. Chelsea.
Yeah, we should mention it's a beautiful day out here at Lake Johnson, a bit crisp and breezy. But if you look here on the banks of Lake Johnson, you can already see where those levels have been lowered by the city of Raleigh. This is all a good thing. It's to mitigate potential flooding. Now, yesterday, the city stormwater team started proactively lowering Lake Johnson ahead of the rain that Elizabeth just mentioned on Saturday and heavy rain that's expected on Tuesday. The goal, says the city, is to lower the levels over the course of the next few days, roughly about 2 feet. Now, this allows the city to store more water in the lake and reduce flooding concerns along Walnut Creek, which we all know in the past has been a significant issue. Now, the current level here right now at Lake Johnson is roughly 342 feet. That's down just about a foot from earlier in the week. Now, coming up tonight at 4 o'clock, or I should say, in our later newscast, we'll get out here with one of the city engineers and talk to them a little bit about why they do that. We'll also check in with Falls Lake as well as Jordan. Keep you posted on what they're doing ahead in our later newscasts.
All right, Chelsea Donovan live at Lake Johnson this noon for us. Chelsea, thanks.
And happening now in the WRL Live Center, we're following some breaking news right now. I want to take you to these live pictures courtesy of Sky 5 this noon hour. The call came in for this fire at this home around 11:40 this morning. This is around about a half hour ago. This is in the Long Lake subdivision in northwest Raleigh. This home is located on Granada Hills Drive. You can see the heavy firefighter presence there on at this home. Firefighters have been on the roof for the last half hour trying to assess the integrity of that structure. You can see firefighters all around that that home as well. We're working to find out exactly how this fire started and how the family is doing and whether or not they were displaced as a result of this fire. Again, this is just coming into our newsroom. We've got Sky 5 over it. We'll continue to ask questions and bring you any update here in the WRL Live Center.
Thank you, Ken. Right now, demolition work is underway to tear down the old Raleigh Police Department headquarters downtown. It's been vacant for 14 years. WRL's Matt Talhelm is live at West Hargett Street and McDowell Street to show us what will replace the old RPD building. Matt, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Michelle. You can already see some of the construction work underway here, the construction fencing surrounding this building, and all those windows are already pulled out of here so crews can safely remove some of the asbestos from this older building. RPD moved out of here back in 2010. Now the work is really getting started here to tear all this down. Take a look at what will go up in its place, a new 17-story city hall. The city is calling this the East Civic Tower. It is a $206 million project to consolidate city government offices and services all under one roof. Right now, they are scattered across several buildings downtown that the city is paying about $62,000 a month to rent out.
This is the city's opportunity to improve the customer service experience. Rather than navigating through downtown at five different locations, now residents, citizens, visitors alike will be able to come to one location and receive all city services. It's an exciting time for the city of Raleigh.
That East Civic Tower will also include a new city council chambers. You're looking at that space right now. It'll be a larger space. The entire building will be glass and more open. The city says that design is meant to send a message about transparency in city government. Now, you'll really start seeing the wrecking ball coming in here to take down this old RPD headquarters in about the end of this month. Then the new building will start to rise up here in the summertime. The construction timeline here is to have everything finished in that new Civic Tower built here by December of 2026. Michelle.
Very exciting. Matt Talhelm live in downtown Raleigh. Thanks, Matt.
Five people led state troopers on a chase that started in Apex in Wake County and ended in Chatham County. WRL's Kelsey Coffey reports the police are still searching for four out of the five of those people.
Right now, the folks at the Highway Patrol here are just working to piece all of this together. I'll walk you through how everything played out. So first, the suspect stole a 2011 Kia Forte out of Johnston County. That's according to state troopers. Take a look at this security camera video. It captures the moment troopers were chasing the suspects in the Kia. Viewer video shows the chase ended when the driver ran off the road into a ditch. The chase started in Apex and ended on O'Kelly Chapel Road in Chatham County. Troopers say once the driver crashed, the suspects ran into the woods. One of the suspects, 16-year-old Jaden Williams, was caught. He was arrested last night. We're working to get an update on whether the four other people involved have been arrested. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Raleigh.
New information this hour about a pedestrian who was hit and killed on Hammond Road. A driver faces two charges, including misdemeanor death by vehicle. Raleigh police say a driver was headed northbound, approaching the I-40 underpass. A pedestrian was sitting in the far left lane facing east. Police say it appears that the driver failed to reduce speed and struck the pedestrian. The names have not been released. And firefighters in Sampson County are working to determine what started a house fire around midnight. This was the scene on River Road when the WRL breaking news tracker got there earlier this morning. Several fire departments responded, including Clayton Taylor's Bridge and Turkey. Smoke could be seen coming from the back of the house. We are working to confirm whether anyone was hurt. Firefighters are working to determine what started the fire.
Mobile sports betting will launch in North Carolina before in-person sports books show up at arenas or other venues. That's what the NC Lottery's head of sports betting decided this morning at a committee meeting. The commission has not announced a date for when bettors will be able to wager on sports on their mobile devices. Last week, seven mobile sports betting companies, including industry leaders like FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM, and ESPN Bet, all applied for licenses to accept bets in North Carolina ahead of an initial December 27th deadline. Carolina Hurricanes completed their purchase of Backyard Bistro. The restaurant and bar sits just across the street from PNC Arena and Carter Finley Stadium's complex. PNC Arena is set to undergo a $300 million renovation in coming years, and significant development is expected around the arena as well. Next at noon, startling video here. The moment a defendant in court leaps over the bench to get at a judge. Now that same person will be back in court facing new charges.
Also, a huge snowstorm knocks out power to thousands in Sweden. How many vehicles were stranded along a major highway there?
Plus, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is headed to the Middle East. The chaos he'll address after a double bombing in Iran.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
A three-time convicted felon who attacked a judge in Las Vegas is due back in court today on new charges. Dramatic courtroom video shows the moment Deborah Redden leaped over the bench and assaulted the judge. The video prompted a review of protocols at courtrooms in the state. NBC's Liz Kreutz reports.
This is the shocking moment a man attacked a Las Vegas judge in her own courtroom. Clark County District Court Judge Mary Kay Holthus was in the middle of sentencing 30-year-old Deborah Redden to prison for attempted battery for substantial bodily harm when he unexpectedly jumped over both the defense table and judge's bench and tackled her. Court officials and attorneys jumping to the judge's aid, all of it caught on this courtroom video.
Is she okay?
A court martial appearing injured as officers eventually subdue the defendant while helping the judge get back to her feet before escorting her out. The terrifying attack, just the latest security scare for judges nationwide. Last year, a man shot and killed a state judge at his home in Maryland after the judge ruled against him in a child custody case. While in 2020, there was a horrifying attack in New Jersey, where a disgruntled lawyer targeted federal judge Esther Salas, showing up at her home, shooting her husband multiple times, and killing her 20-year-old son. Judge Salas told Savannah about her efforts to help better protect the personal information of judges in a law named after her son Daniel that has since been passed.
What are you hoping will happen now?
What I'm hoping will happen now is that we will expand these protections nationwide. This is a matter of life or death.
Wednesday's incident now raising new questions about security in courtrooms. In a statement, the Las Vegas court saying, "We are reviewing all our protocols and will do whatever is necessary to protect the judiciary, the public, and our employees."
That was Liz Kreutz reporting. Redden faces multiple new felony charges of battery and battery against a protected person, meaning the judge and court staff.
A father and son are charged in connection with the deaths of a pregnant teenager and her boyfriend, who were found shot to death a day after Christmas. 19-year-old Christopher Preciado is charged with capital murder. His father, Ramon, will be charged with allegedly helping his son try to hide the bodies. Savannah Soto was last seen one day before she was scheduled to be induced. Police found the bodies of Soto and her boyfriend, Matthew Guerra, in his car. More charges are expected out of this. South African Paralympic gold medalist known as Blade Runner is set to be released from prison tomorrow. Oscar Pistorius was convicted of murdering his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp, on Valentine's Day 2013. He shot her through the bathroom door of their home, claiming he thought she was an intruder. Pistorius cannot drink alcohol, give media interviews, or leave Pretoria, South Africa, where he will live.
A Disney employee is suing the company for allegedly covering up a pattern of sexual misconduct by a former executive. The lawsuit claims Nolan Gonzalez assaulted the woman several times in 2017 when she was incapacitated. She says that management knew about his alleged history of sexual misconduct but refused to take action against him. Gonzalez left the job in 2022. And the woman who persuaded lawmakers to designate Juneteenth as a national holiday is getting a special gift. More than 80 years ago, a racist mob set Opal Lee's Fort Worth, Texas home on fire. Now she owns the land where that home once stood. This is a look at plans for the new home being built for the 97-year-old. She recently learned that the plot of land was owned by Habitat for Humanity. She asked to purchase it, but officials gave the land back free of charge after learning that history. Miss Lee is expected to move into her new home this year.
A huge snowstorm left 1,000 vehicles stuck on a main highway in Sweden this morning. Some people were stranded on the side of the road for nearly 24 hours, and major roads and highways were shut down amid the traffic chaos. The Swedish armed forces had to deliver food and water to those stranded, and thousands were also left without power. It's expected to get worse as local meteorologists forecast even colder temperatures this week. In other parts of Europe, flooding is the problem after the latest Atlantic storm. In northern France, rescue crews helped evacuate residents from homes in a region that has flooded for the second time in 2 months after heavy rainfall. The German Weather Service warns of continuous rain and risk of rising water levels. 10 departments in France remain on high alert out of all this.
Wow, my goodness, what a sight to see there. Talks of some potential flooding here for us this weekend because of some rain. But right now, it's pretty nice outside. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with a live look at RDU. Some favorable travel conditions if you're traveling today.
Yeah, right now looks good, but that system's getting cranked up across the middle of the country, and it could produce some winter weather, not here, but in other places that could cause some airport delays starting as early as tomorrow and all the way through the weekend. We're not likely to see any flooding here this weekend, but the rain that we see on Saturday added to what we'll see on Tuesday could create some flooding by Tuesday when we see that system coming through. 49 is our current temperature, so not bad out there. It's dry. Our dew points way down at 25. We'll see temperatures climbing into the low 50s with some increase in our cloud cover. It's a little bit breezy out there too this afternoon. Expect winds to be gusting up to around 20 miles per hour. 48 Southern Pines, 46 Goldsboro, 46 South Hill, 51 in Fayetteville. So it's a fairly quiet day for us today. Looking at that high around 50 in Raleigh, 50 in Durham, and 53 degrees in Fayetteville. We take a look at quiet conditions. Now we are seeing a flood. If you can see those wind streams coming right out of the northwest, that's going to drop our temperatures overnight tonight. So overnight last night, we were above freezing. Our normal low is at freezing, but tonight we drop down to 25. It stays chilly tomorrow and a little breezy. And then Saturday morning, the big question is, will it still be below freezing as the precipitation begins? And if so, what does that mean in terms of of wintry precipitation. The models are really backing off of much wintry precipitation for us as our temperatures are starting to warm a little bit. So today looks nice, partly cloudy, 51. Tomorrow, pretty chilly. We start 25, end up with 47. And then the rain begins late Friday night, early Saturday morning. In some places, the temperatures could be as low as 30, but we do start to see the models bringing those temperatures up a little bit. We'll see a high of 50 degrees on Saturday. So we're looking just at an all-day chilly rain. A lot of the day, it'll feel like 40s. We'll see that steady rain around an inch, which is not likely to cause any flooding. And now it looks like any freezing rain in our northwestern counties is becoming less and less likely. The purple shaded area is where we could see a little bit of light freezing rain. And yesterday, that was solidly in our viewing area. And now it just looks very patchy. I've got another version of Futurecast to show you. We're not likely to have any impacts across any part of our viewing area. And we'll just see a cold rain all day. It's not out of the question if something changes slightly with our forecast or with the arrival time of the system that we could see a little bit of light glazing up around say Person County, but it's just looking less likely. The models are really backing off of that. So right here is where we would have a 5% chance of a tenth of an inch of ice, and that is outside of our viewing area. So that whole area where we're expecting any freezing rain is outside of our viewing area. Because of the rain that we've seen over the last few weeks, our drought monitor is looking better. It comes out on Thursdays. Last week, we had abnormally dry conditions from Raleigh westward, and now most of our counties have come out of abnormally dry conditions. We still have some drought situations back out in the western part of the state, but things are looking good for us. Because of the potential for an all-day chilly rain on Saturday, it is a WRL weather alert day. We're also watching Tuesday closely. We could see 2 to 4 inches of rain on Tuesday, which could lead us to some flooding. I'll walk you through that and show you how much rain we could see where you are coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. 23andMe is shifting the blame for a data breach that affected millions of users. Why the company says the violation was the victim's fault.
Okay, Jeff, question for you. Should pineapple go on pizza?
I eat pizza off the floor. I don't care what's on it.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll take pineapple on it, yeah. Hawaiian, right?
Right. Well, depending on who you ask, there are just some things that do not go on pizza, Jeff. No pineapple. How one pizza chef is trying to tickle taste buds one slice at a time. Commemorative coins honoring abolitionist Harriet Tubman are now available for purchase. The coins went on sale at noon. There are three to choose from. These are them, the $5 gold coins, $1 silver coins, and half-dollar coins. Each commemorates the bicentennial of her birth. The new coins can be purchased online and in three U.S. Mint stores. Proceeds go to the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center and the Harriet Tubman Home. The release of the Tubman coins comes after a push by some lawmakers to have Tubman replace President Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill stalled.
Americans bought more than 15 million new vehicles last year, up 12% from the previous year. It's also the biggest year-over-year increase in a decade. The jump comes despite strikes, high interest rates, and chip shortages that stalled new car production. Electric vehicle purchases also rose 47%. Gas hybrid sales also saw a 54% increase. 23andMe faces a class action lawsuit after a data breach last October, but the company is blaming its users. The company says the breach occurred through a tactic called credential stuffing. It's when hackers obtain login information from another breach and use those same credentials elsewhere. Nearly 14,000 23andMe accounts were accessed using credential stuffing. Hackers also reportedly accessed data from more than 6 million other users as well.
A third-generation Italian pizza chef says that he hopes that his new creation will help end food prejudice. A renowned Naples pizza maestro has added pineapple to his pies. The fruit is pre-baked in the oven, then it's cooled. Then he adds a tomato layer to the dough, sprinkled with at least three cheeses, and then topped with pineapple cooked twice for a caramelized feel. His pizza has gone down well with many, but some are skeptical because they say, no, this doesn't belong on pizza. That does sound good, though. I'd try that. All right, well, tensions are boiling over across the Middle East. The latest effort by the U.S. to avoid another escalation between Israel and Hamas.
Plus, the beginning of the year is a great time to reassess your retirement savings, how some new provisions could help boost your bank balance. And this boosted as well your NC Education lottery numbers on your screen right now.
shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
A double bombing in Iran killed at least 84 people as they marked the death of an Iranian military leader assassinated in an alleged U.S. airstrike 4 years ago. This comes as the leader of Iran's proxy militia Hezbollah vows revenge for the killing of a Hamas leader in Lebanon. NBC's Raf Sanchez has more from Tel Aviv.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is heading to the Middle East today, and he is arriving in a region that feels like it is on the brink, from Iran to Iraq to Yemen to Gaza, and here in Israel and across the Lebanese border. Israel's military says they are at peak readiness in anticipation that there will be retaliation from Lebanon in response to the assassination of that senior Hamas leader in Beirut earlier this week. The head of Hezbollah, the powerful Lebanese Shia militant group, says that the assassination will not go unpunished. There has already been intense fighting across the border. Just today, Israel's military saying a number of rockets fired into northern Israel. They say they've responded with airstrikes and with mortar fire. But the question is there more to come? And if so, at what scale? The U.S. has been very, very concerned since October 7th about the possibility that the war in Gaza could spread across the region, and been especially worried about the possibility of escalation between Israel and Hezbollah. A senior U.S. official is here in Tel Aviv today. His name is Amos Hochstein. He is President Biden's troubleshooter when it comes to Israel-Lebanon issues. He will be meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu later on today. All of this coming as Iran's leadership shaken by that massive pair of explosions yesterday, the fourth anniversary of the killing of Revolutionary Guard leader Qasem Soleimani, at least 84 people dead in Iran. Iran's president is blaming Israel. Israel so far not commenting, but the U.S. says it appears more likely that this bombing was carried out by ISIS or other Sunni jihadist groups. Raf Sanchez, NBC News, Tel Aviv.
We're getting a better understanding of the moments leading up to that fiery crash at a Tokyo airport. Officials in Japan released part of the communications record between air traffic controllers and the aircraft involved in the crash. Those recordings show the air traffic controller did, in fact, give permission for the Japan Airlines aircraft to land, and that the Coast Guard aircraft was not authorized to enter that runway and take off. Authorities say they believe the air traffic controller's instructions were appropriate at this time. The National Transportation Safety Board has recovered the flight and voice recorders of the Coast Guard aircraft and will investigate the circumstances that led to the accident.
In Kensworth here in the WRA Live Center, just updating that school shooting in Perry, Iowa at Perry High School. Right now, I want to take you to these live pictures. This is the area where students and families are being reunited as a result of that shooting that happened around 7 o'clock this morning, Iowa time. Remember, Iowa is an hour behind us. I want to give you another live picture to give you some perspective here, because this is what it looks like outside Perry Middle School. Apparently, Perry High School and Perry Middle School are on the same property. Of course, this school under heavy guard as well. Let's give you a rundown of quickly what happened. Around 7:37 this morning, the call came out about an active shooter situation at Perry High School. When officers arrived on the scene, they found multiple victims. NBC is reporting that two students and a school administrator were shot and injured. The shooter is suspected to have died in this situation. The sheriff says there's no further danger or threat to the community. Another news conference is scheduled for later today, where we should get a lot more answers about what happened there in Perry, Iowa.
Ken, thanks for that. It's January, and so begins another chance to bolster your yearly retirement savings. For some, trying to save for retirement is made harder when you also have to pay off student loans and build up some emergency savings. Mike Valerio details how the newest retirement laws can help you stretch those dollars.
Is bolstering your retirement account one of your goals for 2024? Well, four new work benefits starting this year could help you. The first one aims to help those who are still paying student loan debt.
The idea was to make it easier for those younger employees to be able to start their retirement savings journey by giving them credit for paying student loan payments and counting those student loan payments as essentially contributions, and they'll get a matching contribution for those student loan payments.
Two other provisions help with emergency savings.
The vast majority of working Americans don't even have, you know, a few hundred dollars in cases of emergencies.
The first is what's called a sidecar account that employees can contribute up to $2,500 as an emergency fund while still earning an employer match in their 401k. The second would allow employees to access up to $1,000 a year from their 401k without being hit with a penalty.
If they just took money out of the plan without any special rule like this, it would be a 10% penalty.
The final provision will allow part-time employees to participate in company 401ks after logging 500 hours over a 12-month period for two consecutive years instead of three. In the end, it's up to your employer as to which of these new provisions they want to adopt. Of the four, they are only required to implement 401k access to part-time employees.
Just ahead, the Golden Gate Bridge is finally outfitted with something that's been in the works for many years.
And new year, new travel destinations. Our state's 2024 travel guide is out. We'll tell you what's in it. And for news, traffic, and weather of the day, make sure to download the WRL News app.
Here in the WRL Live Center, we're following some breaking news out of Goldsboro. We want to take you right now to these live pictures. Sky 5 that just arrived over Berkeley Mall. Here's what we've been able to confirm. Two people were shooting at each other inside that mall. Those two people are now in custody. The mall currently is on lockdown. You can see the heavy police presence there. We're also told that nearby Greenwood School is on lockdown as well. We're asking many questions about what happened here. Of course, we'll keep you updated in the WRL Live Center and online at WRL.com.
All right, thank you, Ken. After decades of delays, a suicide prevention net at the Golden Gate Bridge is finally in place. The 20-foot-wide mesh net lines both sides of the San Francisco Bridge to deter people from jumping off of it. Though it will prevent someone from dying, workers say a fall on the net can still cause serious bodily harm. More than 2,000 people have reportedly used the bridge to commit suicide since 1937. And there are resources for those in need of help. If you or someone you know is in crisis, dial 988 to reach the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. You can also find county-by-county mental health support resources on WRL.com/get help.
Get ready for the return of Mr. Monk, how real-life events prompted creators to bring back TV's favorite OCD detective. And not sure about your relationship status? Don't worry, One Candy Company has you covered. A treat you can share with your person this Valentine's Day.
Welcome back. 12:43 on your Thursday afternoon. You're looking live at the beautiful WRL Azalea Gardens. You're watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. More than a decade after the show's final episode, Monk is back. The OCD detective returns in a new movie that's streaming now on Peacock, Mr. Monk's Last Case. Mark Barger talked to the Emmy winner who plays the title character about what spurred his return.
Some experts are predicting that the second wave of the pandemic could bring even more infections and fatalities.
A public service announcement in COVID's early days, showing obsessive compulsive detective Adrian Monk trying to cope.
30's high bottles of beer.
Caught Tony Shalhoub a bit off guard.
We were kind of stunned, surprised at how well received it was.
Well enough.
There he is.
To revisit the character for the new Peacock movie, Natalie? Mr. Monk's Last Case.
Look at us.
Everybody's you.
They're gonna hate it. Maybe Monk wasn't as loony as he is. This wasn't as neurotic as we all originally thought.
But the quirky crime solver's return comes with heightened personal stakes.
That was no accident. He was murdered. You have to help me.
There's also some inner turmoil that echoes It's a Wonderful Life.
of course, that was a life-affirming, you know, movie. You
ended heartwarming.
That, heartwarming and celebrated. It turned out it celebrated life, even though it had dark elements.
And Shalhoub admits that darker territory was a risk.
We felt it was justified because the world had shifted. The world had changed. Monk would have had to have changed that much, too.
Yet not so much to spoil the fun of reuniting the cast.
Seeing their excitement and enthusiasm for revisiting these characters, it was great.
For what's billed as Monk's last hurrah. Mark Barger, NBC News.
And show creator Andy Breckman, who you just saw there in Mark's story, says he is leaving the door ever so slightly cracked to revisiting Monk again in the future.
Visit North Carolina released its 2024 state travel guide, and this year's edition features more than 150 towns and cities and highlights nearly 350 attractions, restaurants, lodging properties, and events. The guide is free. You can pick up a copy at state welcome centers or by requesting a copy over the phone or online. Wright Brothers Memorial will offer free admission several days this year. Admission to the site in Kill Devil Hills is usually $10 for people age 16 and older. There are 8 days this year, though, where everyone gets in free, with the first happening January 15th for Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. We have the other dates on WRL.com.
So much to see here in North Carolina.
Lots of sunshine down there at the coast, you know.
Yes.
Plenty to do every time of the year as well. And, you know, our winters usually aren't too terrible.
Not too bad.
Right now. We're right in the middle of it in January here. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center. We see a little wind kicking up out there.
Yeah, a little bit of cloud cover here. Usually that's if the sun is shining on the whirligigs, they're a little easier to see, but you may have to take my word for it. They are spinning around out there. Take a look at the wind. Our wind is coming out of the northwest. If you've been outside at all today, you probably noticed that wind feels chilly. It actually is going to be near normal this afternoon in the low 50s, but that wind's making it feel chilly. We're gusting to 21 in Southern Pines. The actual wind, the steady wind is on the left side, and the gusty winds are on the right side. So we're steady out of the northwest at 13 in the triangle, gusting to 21, gusting to 22 in Goldsboro, gusting to 25 in Rocky Mount, and gusting to 21 in South Hill. And that's likely to continue through the afternoon. Once we hit sunset, the winds will start to die down a little bit. Here comes the system for Saturday. As it moves eastward, notice already a good bit of snow with this, a little wintry mix there. As it moves farther east, it's going to grab up some moisture from the Gulf of Mexico and become a pretty big storm that has some pretty big impacts across the country. The impacts here for us on Saturday, which is a WRA weather alert day, are just going to be uncomfortable. We'll see a steady rain all day, looking at about an inch of rain. It won't be enough to cause any flooding. But the rain that we see today, paired with what we'll see on Tuesday, could cause some flooding. We'll talk more about that. Now, a day or so ago, it looked like that we would have maybe a little bit of light freezing rain near the Virginia line, particularly north and west of I-85. The models have really backed off on that today, so currently it looks unlikely, but check in with Kat and Mike this evening, and they'll have the new runs of the computer models. We are likely to see winter weather in the mountains on Saturday. Some freezing rain for our viewing area is looking less likely. Travel issues may happen across the country, but we are not likely to see travel issues right here in our part of North Carolina. This is where we'd have a better chance of seeing at least a tenth of an inch of freezing rain, and that's going to be in the foothills and to the mountains, all the way down towards, say, High Point, even towards Charlotte. But for us, we're really out of the contour for any freezing rain, and the models really back that up too. Here's a look at 3 a.m. on Saturday. It will be cloudy. We start to see that precipitation inching toward us by around 4 or 5 a.m. And you can see here's the pink. That's where we would have a little bit of light freezing rain. It's sitting right at the Virginia North Carolina line, and it just doesn't sit there very long. It's not long enough for us to really have any freezing rain. So as long as nothing changes with this model, it really doesn't look like we'll have any freezing rain. Now, it will rain for a good bit of the day, especially in the morning. Watch what happens during the afternoon. By the time we get to mid-afternoon, it starts to lighten up just a little bit, but it's probably going to be with us into dinner time or so with cloud cover behind it. This is a look at our forecast rainfall with this system, anywhere from 3/4 of an inch to maybe 1.25 inches. Again, that's not likely to be enough to cause any flooding. But if you're added to the mountains, there is likely to be some snow, at least in the morning on Saturday. I don't know if I'd rush there to ski because it looks like it may change over to rain during the afternoon Saturday. But you head up north of D.C. and boy, look at that red shaded area. That's where there's a really good chance of an inch of snow. We jump ahead to Tuesday. We'll likely have 2 to 4 inches of rain on Tuesday, possibly some thunderstorms. It's too early to tell about severe weather, but boy, Tuesday looks like we could be in for some heavy rain. Saturday is a WRL weather alert day, and we'll be keeping our eye on Tuesday. It may be a WRL weather alert day too in a few days.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. The family pet went outdoors to do her business and falls victim to a coyote attack. Never fear, Binks the cat is here. How this cat came to the rescue. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Police have confirmed multiple people were shot at a high school in Iowa. NBC News reports the shooter died from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Also reporting three others, including two students and an administrator, were shot. All the latest developments are coming up next on WREL during NBC News Daily.
And Goldsboro police say shots were fired inside Berkeley Mall. This is a live look right now from Sky 5. The department says no one was injured. The mall and Greenwood School are both on lockdown. Police tell WREL two people are in custody. We'll bring you updates as we get them on WREL.com.
And with the risk of heavy rain in the forecast over the next few days, crews are lowering the water levels at Lake Johnson. City officials will lower the lake by around 2 feet to reduce flooding concerns along Walnut Creek. Water will be pulled from the lake until noon tomorrow. Lake Johnson's water level can be adjusted again after Saturday's rain if necessary.
As we step into 2024, WREL News wanted to know, what do you see or want to see for the city of Raleigh in 2024? We posed that question to residents, leaders, families, and children, and here's what we heard.
I want to see more historic buildings, more like just more historian things that like help learn and stuff. Like when kids are going on field trips and stuff, they're going to see like historic things, more things that help them learn and all that.
A hip-hop dancing club for kids. Because I'm good at it and I've been doing it for 1 year.
I want a Wawa. I want Raleigh to bring the North down to Raleigh.
You can visit WREL.com to hear more resolutions from local residents.
I love it. Well, if your new year is beginning with a situationship, Sweetheart's Candy may have the perfect treat for you. The candy brand is known for heart-shaped candies with sweet nothings written on them. Now the company is releasing limited edition boxes for those not in a traditional relationship. The new heart candies feature blurry misprints that the brand is calling messages as blurry as your relationship. Situationship was one of the top four words of 2023 by Oxford University Press.
You've heard the saying, a dog is man's best friend, but it appears a cat can also be a dog's best friend. Security footage shows the family dog Oakley outside in the yard in Oklahoma. He gets attacked by coyotes. And that's when Binks the cat appears out of nowhere there and just runs them off, giving Oakley time to run inside the house. Binks is a stray, but her family cares for her, and Oakley was badly hurt but survived.
My goodness. All right, our pet of the day, a cutie from the SPCA of Wake County. Zero is a 9-month-old neutered male puppy. He weighs 39 pounds. The overgrown puppy is cuddly, playful, young guy who can get a little nervous around new people or young kids. Zero is also deaf, so he looks to his human to help him understand and navigate the world. Deaf dogs can be trained like any other dog using hand signals instead of verbal commands. Zero would probably enjoy having a dog friend in his new home. And for more information about meeting Zero, he is so cute, you can visit spcawake.org.
A 13-year-old from Oklahoma has done something no human has ever done before. He beat the original Tetris, and his reaction is priceless.
Oh my God.
He's like,
so
hyperventilating. Willis Gibson shared the moment he reached the game's so-called kill screen there. His score, 999999. So he broke the game when he reached level 157. The screen doesn't have the code for that. It wasn't designed to go that high.
Oh my goodness.
So there you have it.
Wow.
We'll be back with NBC News Daily next on WREL.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.